Every believer has the capacity to live as Jesus lived. Live victoriously over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every evil works of the enemy. You can transform not just your own life, but the lives of people around you. The more you expose yourself to the words of God, the more you see it flow through you. In this message, Pastor Philip teaches on how you can respond to God's unconditional love for you. Live your life in the reality of His power and be all His Word says you can be.
The Lord showed me a second vision. I saw in that vision someone that looked like was struggling to put a box plug into a round socket. And the person was struggling. So I began to ponder in my spirit what the two visions meant as the Lord showed it to me. In line with what we'll be sharing tonight, the Lord said to me that there are people here who have lost power because they lost confidence in who God created them to be. They have lost connection with purpose in life because they lost confidence with who God made them to be. And so that white handkerchief was purpose. But on that stain were stains of unbelief and stains of lack of confidence and stains of self-despise. Are you following my point? People who have begun to wish that they were not who they are. And because they were wishing that they were not who they are, they lost connection with the core of their purpose. And so there'd be no power. And the same thing with the second vision. A box plug being trying to be fixed into a round socket. And because it doesn't fit, there is no connection of power. The Lord said to me that there are people here in this meeting tonight, please follow me closely, that will be delivered from age-long feelings of self-inferiority. I said age-long, like primary school feelings of incompetence, feelings of not being good enough, feelings of not matching up, and because you don't like yourself. Can you give me some more volume on this? Because you don't like yourself, you are not able to plug in into the power that God put in, because God cannot bless a disguise. God cannot bless what He did not create. God cannot bless a caricature. God cannot bless a pretense. God cannot bless a masquerade. And because you have not come in terms and have accepted who you are, there's been no power in your life. But the Lord said there will be deliverance in this room tonight in the name of Jesus. By the instrumentality of His presence, by the power of His word, there will be deliverance in this room tonight in the name of Jesus. I want to let you know that you are not an accident. It's not even up to 4 weeks that I started using this wireless mic. This one's already look like it's a body. And somebody just blessed us with this mic. I'm trying to find out. It's an anonymous blessing. But whoever the person is, I'm so glad you did this. It's a huge blessing. It's changing my life, I'm telling you. I'm able to gesticulate very well, but now I have to hold this thing now. All right, let's open to Psalms quickly. Please, I want you to pay very close. I sent a document to the page. How many of you have seen it? If you have the document, let me see your hands. If you have the document already, let me see your hands. I sent the general page. If you don't have it, let me see your hands. If you don't have the document, let me see. So we're going to do it for ourselves now. If your neighbor has the document, please send it to your neighbor. If your neighbor doesn't have the document, send it to your neighbor. Now it's a PDF document. Let's do that quickly, everyone. I sent it to the pages, tribe. So send it. If you don't have the documents, please come and... Is this something you'll be able to repair before service? I can't even use it. If you remove it, I can't put it back. That's just true. No, I can't put it back. I have to put it inside my shirt. Just this one, Abby. Yeah, come and see if I can remove it. But I'm not enjoying this mic again. I'm already enjoying this one. Try and remove it. And tuck the cable into my belt here so it doesn't show. You know how to do it, Abby? So everyone has the document now, Abby? Does everyone have the document now? Psalms 139, verse 14. Psalms 139. Is Duma in the house? She's not. Please, can you read for me? 139. Psalms 139. Psalm 139, verse 14.
I'll praise thee.
Yeah.
For I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
For I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
Marvelous are thy works.
Marvelous are thy works.
And that my soul knoweth right well.
That my soul knoweth right well.
Should I go on?
Yes, go on to 16.
My substance was not hid from thee.
The Bible says, my substance. Do you have NLT?
Yes, sir.
Okay, go to NLT. Use NLT. Verse 14 down to verse 18. Okay?
Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex.
The Bible says, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex.
Your workmanship is marvelous.
Your workmanship is marvelous.
How well I know it.
How well I know it.
You watched me as I was being formed.
You watched me. So you see, there is no such thing as an unwanted pregnancy. There's no such thing as an unwanted pregnancy. The Bible says you watched me as I was being formed. I've told you the story before. My mother didn't want me. I was a mistake. She called me a mistake. She called me an accident. But God watched me as I was being formed in my mother's womb. I was not an afterthought. I taught you before in this place that even the woman was not an afterthought. Did I teach you that about last three weeks? I said God created the male and the female the same day. So God didn't just... Nobody's an afterthought. There's nobody here that God just stumbled on. He says, you watched me as I was being formed. Yes?
In utter seclusion.
In utter seclusion.
As I was woven together in the dark of the womb.
As I was being woven together in the dark of the womb. Yes?
You saw me before I was born.
You saw me before I was born.
Every day of my life was recorded in your book.
Isn't that amazing? That God has a book in your name. That when you get to heaven now, there's a book with the name of Ekong. Sorry, Udwak. Today's our birthday. Praise the Lord. So today in heaven, there's a book with your name on it. All the pages are written of God's plans for you. God has all that for all of us. God has a book. Your parents may not have even thought about you, but God thought about you. He said he watched me as I was being formed. All my days are written in your book. What does it say next?
Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed.
Before the day came, God had it laid out. How deliberate? Who can be more intentional than that? That every single moment, not just the days, even the moments were laid out before God. What does it say next?
How precious are thoughts? Are your thoughts about?
How precious are your thoughts? Some of you are here, you think nobody's thinking about you. You wake up in the morning and you don't have a text message to wake you up from the morning, but you have an entire book written to you. God didn't send you a text. I told you on Sunday that God did not do small thing on your head. He did the big thing on your head. He did the big thing in your head. He says, your thoughts are precious. What does it say next?
Oh God, they cannot be numbered.
The thoughts God has. You see, I love my wife and I think about her. Because the Bible says if God, if you were to count the thoughts of God towards you, you cannot number it. What does it say next?
I can't even count them.
I can't even count them.
They outnumber the grains of sand.
The grains of sand. Is it working out? It's not going to work. We can just marry without it. I prefer it, but I've used this for 4 years now. Is this one I want to spoil me now? I should continue. I should use this one. This one cannot work today. What is the problem? You are distracting us. It says it outnumbers what?
The grains of sand.
I'm telling you, you're just tickling my bum bum, sis. Thank God for I have self-control. Tell you. Thank God that God has trained me. Amen. It outnumbers the grains of sand. You see, if I create a cubic, I think it's working now. Perfect. Thank you. Let's celebrate the media meal. Amazing. Tell you, I bless the person that bought this mic. I bless him with all my heart. I didn't know I needed it before. I've been suffering. I'm telling you, I didn't know how many things we don't know we need until God supplies it. I wasn't even thinking about it, and somebody was thinking about it for me. How precious are your thoughts towards us? One day God said, I know the number of the air on your head. God told me that. I said, God, you know, even I don't want to know it. If God says, let's count your, he's not saying, let us count you. I said, I don't need that information. What am I going to do with it? But God is so detailed, he's so concerned that he knows the very slightest, unreasonable, unnecessary detail about your life. The Bible says his thoughts towards me is what? He says it outnumbers what?
The grains of sand.
The grains of sand. If I go to the seashore and I create a cubic at the seashore, there'll be 500 million grains of sand in that cubic. 500 million. So imagine all the seashores of the world. Imagine all the sand of the world. The Bible says God's thoughts towards me are more. I want you to come into deliberate, apprehension and comprehension of what I'm talking about. He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. You see, God is continually thinking about you. You are not an afterthought. My first deliverance this morning is to get you to accept who you are. Stop wishing you were someone else. Everyone else is already taken. You are all that is left for you to have. Stop wishing. Stop saying, if only I was that person. If only I could talk like that. If only I could speak like that. If only I had that stature. If only I had was that tall. Stop wishing you were someone else. If you could get that deliverance this evening, I'm done. The first deliverance is to accept you. You see, the battle for identity is the first battle. Satan came to Jesus. If you are the Son of God, that's the first temptation. If you are, the first temptation is a temptation that destroys your identity. That tells you are not who God says you are. When it came to Eve, he said, if you eat out of this fruit, you will be like someone else. He created a facade that there was something more that Eve could be, that Eve was not already. And so the desire to be someone else, the desire to be like someone else, the desire to be something that we are not, that we are not created to be, or that we think we are not currently, is the greatest temptation for man. Accept who you are. Accept your color. Accept it. Black is not the opposite of white. If black was the opposite of white, then what's the opposite of red? Colors don't have opposites. Your lack is not because you are black. Accept your temperament. Accept your personality. Love yourself. If I can get you to get to that point, forget what your class teacher said. Forget what your parents said about you. Forget it. What did God say about you? God did not give you any weakness. The Bible says all good and perfect gifts come from what? From God, with whom there is no darkness or shadow of turning. No variableness or darkness or shadow of turning. The Bible says all good gifts and perfect gifts. Did you come from the Father? Did you come from the Father? Does that make you a good gift? Yes, you are. So when God was creating you, he didn't think that, after creating Bobby, which weakness can I give him now? Which weakness? Oh, we have run out of weakness. Ask that angel, do you have any weakness? God did not give you any weakness. The things you are not good at, they are not your weakness. You are not good at it. Period. The monkey does not swim. A fish does not climb trees. We don't say climbing trees is the weakness of a fish. We say a fish does not climb trees. Period. You don't like arithmetic. Period. You don't like Excel. Period. You don't like details. Period. You are not made like that. Period. That's not your weakness. You don't like it.
You don't like mathematics. That's not your weakness. You don't like it. Are you following my point? You are not weak on anything. Stop using that language for yourself. You are not weak. You are not weak. You are not weak. I don't admit it. I don't accept it. I have no weakness. I'm the image of God. I'm made in his likeness. I don't have any weakness. Bible says there's no darkness in God. Accept who you are. I know they told you that you are imbecile. Some of you are talkative. You talk a lot. God made you to talk a lot. He wants you talking a lot. He's a God of variety. He's too creative to create and duplicate things. What's he going to do with everybody being quiet? And what's he going to do with everybody talking a lot? That's why we are beautiful, because we are different. You see, we are not better than each other. We are different from each other. You're not better than I am. You are different from me. Accept your difference. There's a solution you have to prefer in the world, and it can only be channeled by the power of your difference. The moment you leave who you are, you lose power. God made you like that. He didn't give you a weakness. I talk a lot. And because I talk a lot, I interact a lot. Because I interact a lot, I'm able to socialize a lot. Because I socialize a lot, I'm able to network a lot. My life can change. I never wish I didn't talk a lot. The day I found out the power of my being able to talk a lot, I accepted it. I love me. If you don't love me, you have a problem. I love me too much. If you have a problem with me, you have a problem. Are you following my point? The first deliverance is to accept who you are. You see, you cannot step into your calling life if you don't believe and accept who God has made you. As much as you constantly wish you were someone else, you are not going to be able to walk on the who that you already are. Right? So there are five things I'm going to talk about. Shape, S-H-A-P-E. That puts you, I'm zooming in on you tonight to let you know what God has called you to be. All right? All of us have the documents now, don't we? So I'm going to rush this through because we all have the documents. So check it. I'm starting from page. What page is this? It's not paginated. 1, 2, 3. Okay. Spiritual gifts. S for spiritual gifts. What am I gifted to do? 1 Corinthians 7:7 says, each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift and another that gift. All of us have different gifts from God. The purpose of my spiritual gifts says, my spiritual gift is not for my benefit, but for others. I'm on page 4 now. It says, each one of you as a good manager of God's different gifts must use for the good of others. Give it to me. 1 Peter 4:10. Can you help me read, please? 1 Peter 4:10. What does it say? Do you have good news?
Yes, sir.
What does it say? 1 Peter 4:10.
Each one,
yes,
as a good manager of God's different gifts.
As a good manager of God's what?
Different
gifts. You see, the word different is what I'm talking about. Different gifts. You must do what?
Must use for the good of others.
Must use. So your spiritual gift is for the good of others. I told you many times that the Lord said to me that you must live your life like a tree if you want to please me. And one of the things that the tree does, that a tree does not eat its own fruit. So my anointing, the anointing of God on my life, is not for merchandise. Are you following my point? I'm not supposed to commercialize God's anointing on my life. I say, I cannot pray for you until you sow a seed. I cannot do this for you until you bring the money. Until you bring this amount of money, and bribe my angels. You hear the kind of rubbish being said everywhere? That's merchandise. When Peter came and when Simeon the magician came and met Peter, he said, let me give you money that I may have this. He said, may you perish with your money. You cannot commercialize God's gift. Are you following my point? People should be generous. People should sow into gifts. People should give. But people should not give with the intent of merchandising what God has given to us freely. He says everyone must understand that he must be given for others to produce maturity and stability in our church. So there are basic truths about spiritual gifts. Number one, only believers have spiritual gifts. Number two, every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. All of us here, all of us, everybody, say I. Say after me, say I. Mention your name. I have a spiritual gift. You have a spiritual. You don't just have a spiritual gift. You are a spiritual gift. You are a gift. You are a gift. I'm a gift. I'm a gift. I see myself as one. I'm a gift. People said all kinds of terrible things to me. You know, my other brother, he may be watching this, but I've forgiven him. My other brother said this to me when I was on campus. He thought I was a dunce. So he was trying to rubbish what I was doing. So he said, so what's that your GPSF? So I told him, I said I was in 4.3 something. He said, hey, and so what? You know, people that are always looking for faults. No matter where you are, they will still find faults. He said, and so what? He said, it's because UJCM. UJCM is the University Joint Christian Mission on campus. He said, because UJCM has turned to rubbish. That's why people like you can be there serving. Told me that. My other brother told me like that. That it's because UJCM, I was the choir coordinator of UJCM. He said, it's because UJCM has turned to nonsense. That's why people like me can be serving as an escort there. That if he had time, they'll go and meet them, that I'm a stupid person. They should move me. That's my own elder brother. So I went back to school with vengeance. I said, I will show this guy that out of darkness, God called out light. I showed him. Some of you are living all your life now to show someone something. You are living your life now to prove somebody wrong. That's dangerous. He says, all of us have gifts. Number three, no one receives all the spiritual gifts. None of us have all the spiritual gifts. Our spiritual gifts are different and unique. Please go through them later when you get home. You can't earn a spiritual gift. I said that earlier. The Holy Spirit decides what gifts I get. It is a sin to waste the gifts God gave to me. I need to let that drive home. It is a sin to waste the gifts. It is a sin to waste the gift that God gave to you. It's a sin. It is wickedness. Because what God gave to you is a supply for the body. Imagine if your brain refuses to send signal to the body and say, I'm depressed. Today, I don't want to see anybody. I'm having mood swing. Like some of us can just have mood swing and refuse to come to church. Can just have mood swing and refuse to supply what your part is in the body. You see, you have a part to supply in the body. You are not here just for interior decor. You are here to supply. So it's irrespective of your emotions. Imagine me waking up on Sunday morning and say, I don't feel myself. I feel down. And refuse to come to church. How are you going to feel? And yet there are people in departments that will refuse to come to church just because I'm not happy. The Bible says to withdraw your gift is wickedness. What God gave to you, look at what Jesus Christ told that guy when he came back. He said, where's my talent? He said, look at your talent. This way, give it back to him. One. He said, you wicked servant. That's wicked. It's a sin. Last one, using my gifts glorifies God and grows me. I like that. The more I use the gift, the better I become. So I said this last Sunday, last week, caution about spiritual gift. Don't confuse gift with natural talent. It's different. Spiritual gift is different from natural talent. Number two, don't confuse gifts with the fruit of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit, spiritual gifts are different from the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit are things that show your maturity, character, patience. Those are fruits of the Spirit. Love, kindness. They show your maturity, but the gifts show your ministry. So you can have a ministry without maturity. Are you following me this evening? You can be in ministry and not be matured. I've seen people who are in ministry and are not matured. So my gifts show my ministry or the expression of my ministry. I can have a wonderful anointing of God when I sing. It doesn't mean that I've learned patience. Patience comes by walking with God. It shows my maturity. Being able to forgive people who offend you comes by maturity. Are you following me tonight? So I said, be aware of gift projection. I said that last Tuesday. Don't make your gifts look as if it's superior to others. Let's jump straight to the gift. Number one, apostleship. The first spiritual gift is apostleship. I mentioned that last Tuesday too. Apostleship. Now, there are people here that God is going to call into the office of an apostle. It's not a title. It's a function. I said it. John the Baptist. Did I say that? Paul the apostle. Jesus the Messiah. Philip the what? Eh? Philip the what? Philip the evangelist, Paul the apostle, John the Messiah. So it's not a title, it's a duty. I said that it's a God-empowered ability to start new work, new churches, new expressions of God, you know, and oversee development. Missions is a bit different from apostleship. Please follow me closely. Follow. Are you there? Okay, all of us. Is that Jibola? I didn't know you. How are you doing? All right, great. Good to have you in house tonight. It's God's empowered ability to adapt to a different culture. See, not every one of us can adapt to a different culture. People are given to missions. There are people who are given to missions, who always love missions, want to go to strange places, want to go and help people, want to go to villages, want to go to a particular village. And they have a way of making people that don't want to do those things as if they are not spiritual. Have you seen me like that? Say, you are not doing missions. You call yourself a mission. The Great Commission. The Great Commission. The Great Commission is not just missions. The Great Commission is a great commission. It includes pastoring, includes teaching, includes mission, includes evangelism, includes everything. If you keep doing mission, who's going to teach who you are missioning to? If everybody leaves their house, who's going to be at home to leave at home? Everybody cannot leave. But I've met people who make it. Somebody came to our church sometime. He said, you know, our church is not giving to mission. He thinks he should belong to a church. I said, go. There are many churches that are giving to mission. There's even mission in their name. Evangelical mission. Mission church. Go there. I can't pastor everybody. I'll be foolish to think I can pastor everybody. And it's not because they are not good. They just, you see, the expression of their gift does not tally with mine. In my body, the way my body is, my heart is in my left hand side, hopefully. You know, my heart is somewhere here. I don't know where my stomach is. Who knows where my stomach is? At the back? You should that your stomach will be at the back. Yeah, am I now cow? Where's my stomach? Where's my stomach? Where's doctors? Lloyd, where's my stomach supposed to be? Eh? Come and show me where my stomach's supposed to be. This is the what?
The
curvature. Wow. Curvature. Oh yeah, where's my stomach? Is my stomach curvature?
No, it's not straight, so it's curved.
What is my, where's my stomach?
So it's like this.
Okay, my stomach is here.
Yes.
But it's called the curvature. Okay, where's my kidney? Leave stomach. Okay, I have two kids. So you see, my kidney is here, my two kidneys are here, but my heart is here. My brain is here. You see, they are not close to each other. Doesn't mean they are not part of the same body. If all of them say, let us be in one place, you see, they're going to kill the body. The fact that we are different does not mean that we are opposite or contrary. Gospel Church, Foursquare, Redeem. You see, all those differences, leave them like that. Some churches believe in singing, some don't believe in drumming, some people say you must cover your hair, some say you can leave your hair open, some people say don't use lipstick, some say you are Leviathan, some people say don't put leg chain, some people say you can only put neck chain. And all those, leave us like that. When we get to heaven, God's going to arrange us all together. Don't fight. So don't feel superior to someone else who is not doing. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 14, that you that eat herbs, don't undermine the person that doesn't. Don't undermine someone that doesn't wear your ring. Don't undermine someone that wears tattoo. Someone came to meet me one time and said that me, I allow people to wear leg chain in our church. And the person was wearing neck chain. I said, where should the chain be? Which one is worse? The neck or the leg? You can chain yourself if you want. That's okay. Anybody can do me. Praise the Lord. Chain yourself as much as you want. So we have preaching, which is to publish, publicize, evangelism, pastoring. Pastoring is shepherding. Teaching is God's empowered ability to educate people by clearly explaining. Not everyone is a teacher. Not everyone can teach. I see people who are just preachers. They are not teachers. They can't explain. They can't break scriptures down one after the other like this. I know teachers in the gospel that are not pastors. One teacher in the gospel is Broglie Akoni. I'm not even a Broglie Akoni. Sound teacher of the gospel. Sound. Olubi Johnson. Sound teacher. Shola Areogun. Sound teacher. Sound teacher. Who knows another teacher? I can tell you another teacher. Eh? Apostle Sema is a teacher. So he's an apostle and he's a teacher. Pastor Kodu is a teacher. Ah, no, we have teachers in the house of God. So, and you don't have to be a pastor. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much, thank you. You can be a pastor and you can be a teacher without being a pastor. So we have encouragement. People that give in to exhorting people. There are people that just exhort, inspire. Encourage. We have knowledge, gifts of knowledge, gifts of wisdom, gifts of giving. Someone's gifts is giving. I mean, people would love to give. Just like you like to sing, someone else loves to give. Now, everybody should give. Like, everybody should evangelize. Everybody should preach the gospel. Everybody should, you know, do some form of mission. But all of us are not called into that gifting. Are you following my point?
Yes,
but there are people that are called into the gift of giving. I've met people like that. Who giving is their gift? Everyone needs a gift and to express it. All right? There's discernment. People have ability to discern what is the Spirit of God or not the Spirit of God. Mercy. That's compassion. People have the gift. You know, I've seen people who are so merciful. They are so merciful. Like, any small thing that touched them, You know, if you have such people in welfare, the welfare department will be very, very blossoming, will help people. I've seen when they put wicked people in welfare. Wicked. The head of one church that I know, the head of the welfare was a wicked woman. There's nothing you can tell her. If you like me, die, say, yes, you cannot do anything about it. Wicked people. That's a wrong placement. And we have the ministry for helps. You see? Helps. Says God's empowered ability to recognize unmet needs in the church, family, and it takes initiative to provide practical assistance. Like someone that bought me this mic now. That's helps. Just notices. Pastor, we need this thing. Pastor, and they get it done. They don't even have to be known. They don't even have to tell anybody. Everybody has a gift, all right? Next page, quickly. We have hospitality. God's given ability to entertain guests. Hospitality is very key in the church. And we are losing it. In those days, the people said they went from house to house, breaking bread. But people have already spoiled this thing. If you open your house anyhow now, they'll go and start up broken your house. And scatter everything. You can even go and scatter your home. And so people are very, you know, careful about who they allow into their house. But that's not how God wants it. People are open to guests. The Bible says people have entertained angels without knowing, just by being hospitable. If you're looking for someone to make home, if you want to start home selling SLC now, we look for someone that has a great hospitality gift that can help, you know, home people, house people, want people. Yeah, people that always want people to come to their house. I mean, people like that always want people to, always they want their house to be, hey, everybody just come. Hey, come to my house now, come to my house now. Even if the house is small, hey, just come now, the space, come now, everybody come. I've met people like that. And they're people that no matter how big the house, they don't want anybody in the house. No, I cannot take it. I don't lock me down. Nobody, please. Who's that? Wait, you say what? From which church? Please. When is he leaving? It's already 5 p.m. It's getting late. Let them go now. But yeah, there are people that are very hospitable. Hospitality is a gift. So I'm saying all this now because when I'm done, I'm going to ask you to write in your paper which one you think you are. Right? We have faith. We have administration. We have leadership. Administration is God's empowered ability to recognize the gifts of others and recruit them into ministry. So administration is different from leadership. Leadership leads. Leadership does things effectively. Administration does things efficiently. Leadership does things that should be done. Leadership does things that should be done. Management does things the way they should be done. Do you see the difference? Leadership says, this is where we should go. So a leader comes and says, this is where we're going. A manager comes and says, how do we get there? So a pastor is a leader. So pastors are not leaders. And that can be very, very problematic. The pastor is not a leader. But you have people who are leaders in the house who can lead. A manager helps us. A manager can stay on status quo. He doesn't lead, doesn't break frontiers, doesn't do anything new. But a manager is not in any way under God inferior to a leader. We have intercession. People have grace for praying for others. I've met people that love to pray for others. I've met people like that. We have to go back to those days. There are days that people will come to your house and pray with you all night. Somebody is sick, they will go to the person's house and pray with the person all night. Everybody is just so burdened with their own problem. And that is why it's wickedness. This is lacking. You see, when all these gifts are not supplying, that's why our churches are not growing in strength. Because people are holding back their gifts for self-preservation and self-security. You don't have to be a pastor. You see, have I mentioned Pastor Mother once? I mentioned Pastor only once. And look at the other gifts that are in the body of Christ. That you are definitely in one of them. Definitely one of them. Intercession, then that's all. So I have the next page. Write down in your little book now, the book you have with you. Out of what I've mentioned, I'm going to rush. My time is rushing. Okay. I have about 20 minutes more. Which of these gifts do you think? Give me three of these gifts you think is your top three ministry gifts. I need you to write it down now. Now, you can go back to the notes and look at them. The key words for pastoring is to care for, to protect. Leader is to give direction. Exhorter is to motivate and inspire people. Evangelist is to win souls. Apostle is to start something new. Teacher is to impart understanding of biblical facts. Wisdom is to apply God's understanding on the matter. Prophet is to speak boldly and proclaim God's thought or God's insight. Faith is to step out with unwavering boldness. Missions is to adapt to other love-lost people. Go out of your own comfort zone to other cultures. You love to do that kind of thing. Administration helps. Mercy, you know, giving. So write three that you think is your topmost. Three that I think is your topmost. Look at it closely, very quickly. Three that you think is your topmost ministry gift. If you have a gift of administration, you love things done properly, you like structure, you like systems, that's a gift. Don't undermine it. That's a gift. You like to know, you like data, you like all those kind of things, that's a gift. I've taken my time to write all these things out. So everybody should be, you must not waste this my energy, this my efforts that I made. This is almost 39 pages. All right? So who has written three? You have written three? What do you think that you, what's it? Tell me. Tell me the three. Yeah. Why are you laughing? You think it's a secret? Some people, they can never tell anybody their own gift. They cover their work. Nobody must know my gift. Why are people like that? Eh? What's your three gifts are? A teacher, administration. You know what I believe? I don't know about intercession, but I know the first two is absolutely correct. Because I've seen you teach. I've seen her teach. I've seen her love children. I've seen her, you know, very, very keen about having children understand scriptures. I've seen her. And I've seen her administration because I've seen you come and meet me several times. Pastor, I think we should do this thing like this. I think we should do this. She even sent me one long voice note one day. That, Pastor, you know, I observe this, I observe that. I think we should work on this a bit, work on this. That's a gift. Not everyone can see other things. As you enter, somebody they can never notice any problem. Hey, what is nothing? We are fine. The church is great. You have anything you don't like? No, we are perfect. Everything is fantastic. What do you think? No, the church is okay. What do you think? We cannot improve on anything. This is the best. We are just there. You know, there are people like that. And it's not bad. That's how they are. They don't see any problem. Happy go lucky. We are good. Let's go. We are going to heaven. But some people can say, okay, I think we should tweak this a bit. I think we should tweak that. And I've seen that. And that's true. You got that correct. Who wants to help me again? I take two more. Okay, what's the mercy? Leadership, giving, and faith. I've seen leadership. I've seen, because I don't check people's accounts. I don't know whether giving is there, but I'm sure she's a partner with SLC, so I'm sure giving is there. You know, and faith. Faith is strong. I've seen leadership. I've seen how you came into the assimilation and you brought in, you know, initiative. Let's do this. Let's drive that. Let's move that. You know, and that's powerful. So let me take the last person if I go. Okay, GT. No, I've taken two ladies. I should take a guy. Celeb. Before they say the guys don't have any spiritual gift. All right. Eh? Only two you're able to get. Hospitality. And who is your friend that know that you like him to come to your house? Is it true? Is it true? Does he give you food when you go? Because what's the purpose of hospitality without food? Does he give you food when you go there? Or does your friend say, come, listen, we are fasting. Every day we are fasting. Okay, that's amazing. Okay. So, I've taken three. You want to say one? Okay, let's have two at least. We've had two leaders, have two guys. Okay. Eh? Exhorter. Yes, that's how many believe that guy's an exhorter? I agree with that completely. Completely. Okay. Evangelist, teacher. Yeah. So, let's go quickly to the next one. That's your spiritual gift. The next one is your heartbeat. How do I know my calling? The first is your spiritual gift. When I'm done with this teaching, we'll take out the entire five and you'll be able to zoom in clearly to what your calling is as a person. Your heartbeat is your passion. My heartbeat is my passion. What is me? What moves me? What inspires me? Not what moves me will move you. I've met people who are so moved when they see issues around rape. They are so embittered when they hear about rape. They are so angry. Have you seen people like that? And rape is a terrible thing. Honestly, rape is the worst of all crimes. But they are so angry that they are even angry with those of us that are not even very angry. Have you seen people like that? See, it's so sad. You cannot see the intensity of what we're talking about. See, I can't see the intensity of what you're talking about. That's not my heartbeat. Somebody's heartbeat could be children. So my heartbeat is real me. My heartbeat determines why I speak the way I do. There are things that I am passionate as a pastor. You see, I'm passionate about faith. If I'm teaching on faith, you know pastor is passionate about, you will know. Healing, you will know. You see, faith, healing, prayer, and the Holy Spirit. Those are the four things I'm most passionate about when I'm teaching. And you will know. Anytime we enter the month of healing, you will know that we have entered the month of my passion. I'm passionate about many other things, but I'm most passionate about these four. Does that mean that every other thing is not important? No, that is my own heartbeat. Someone else is passionate about missions and evangelism. And you see them, no, they will, if they preach, whatever they preach, they will come back to evangelism. Your heartbeat determines what you speak or how you speak the way you do, why you act the way you do, how you feel the way you do. True joy comes from serving God with internal motivation, which comes from the alignment with your assignment. Okay, let me go next quickly. So what issues, how do I know my heartbeat? What issues cause a strong emotional steering in you? How do I know my heartbeat? What are the issues that cause a strong, what are things that can make you cry? Not boyfriend and girlfriend though, just things, issues of life. Not breakfast, you see? The things that make you cry, things that can drive your emotions. Nigeria, someone says Nigeria, politics. Yes, politics could drive your emotions. Poverty can drive you. People are not poor, but are so moved by poverty. Like when I heard a story of a man that was trying to steal fuel, and in trying to steal fuel, he dropped into the fuel tanker and drowned and died. You know, I would just say, that's bad. I move on. Someone says, don't move on. Someone else stays there. What are we talking about? What's going on in this country? I'm saying, no, pastor. We cannot just go on like that. That's the person's heartbeat. Now, the person's heartbeat is not superior to my heartbeat. Stop making people inferior because they don't feel the way you feel about something. Your heartbeat, strong emotional steering, childcare, LGBTQ issues, passionate about it, about family, passionate about it, causes an emotional stirring in you. Violence, injustice, racism can be passionate. Have you seen people are passionate about every racist word will stir up a tornado in their hearts? How dare you call him a Negro? How dare you call him black? Is he not black? He's black. I'm black. If anybody calls me black, maybe brownish black, but I'm black. I'm not in any way white. I'm not. See, but when you call him black, you qualify him. That's racist language. That's there's someone in hostile. That's what they call it. That's hate speech. Hate speech. What causes emotions around you? Number two, what kind of people do you feel strongly attached to? It helps you. You see, I've broken down these things the way I've broken it down because I want you to be able to see it clearly. If I zoom in on these things, you see it to be. That's how I got my own calling. It was sharp. When I answered all these questions, I knew where God has called me. I am crystal clear, sharp as a knife. I'm not mistaken. I don't wish I'm anybody. I honor Bishop Oyedepo, I honor Apostle Sema, but I don't wish I'm there. Wishing that I'm there will be losing the power in who I am. I do wish I'm there. I don't envy anybody, I honor everybody, and I'm not afraid or intimidated by anybody. What kind of people are you strongly attached to? Professionals, military men, infants, children, coppers, artisans, commercial sex workers. I've seen people that are attached to commercial sex workers. I've seen people that are very attached to commercial. I've seen people who want to get all the commercial sex workers off the streets. They are so passionate about them. Attached to my friend, you know, he's always going to preach to commercial sex workers. I warned him, stop preaching to this guy. He said, no, Pastor Philip, you must come and join me. I said, never. I'm not preaching to them. He said, what do you mean? You don't love them? I said, I love all men. I'm not preaching. How can I preach someone whose boobs are pointing at me? No, let somebody else preach to them. Passionate about them. But he's so passionate about, he talks about them every time. He's attached to them. He wants to get everybody off the streets. That's passionate, right? Career women, single mothers, abused people. No. All right. Do you have passion for a special group of people? You know, maybe you have for people who are divorced, people who are bereaved. Check up all those things. Other questions you can also consider is, who do I like to work with? Do I like working with people? Do I like working with things? Although I like work with information. Now, all Bible, if you remember the first scripture we read, what did he say? He said, thank you for making me complex. That's what Simon says. That's what it says. Human beings are the most complex machines in the world. So some people are here now who love to work with people. There are people here who rather work with machines than interact with people. Are you following my point? They want to stay behind system. Some of those tech bros don't want to say anything to anybody. Just put them behind the system and they can be there for 24 hours. You don't have to just give them some form of coffee or something. They're just sipping their tea. They're playing video game. When they're done playing with video game, they come back, face their work. They don't want to talk to anybody. And more people are not wanting to talk to anybody again. People don't want to pick phone calls anymore. You can call, they're waiting for the call. They're waiting for the call to finish. That was why iPhone did that thing that said that can make people swipe off a phone call and keep doing what you're doing. They found out that people who are disturbed by phone calls. When the phone is done, they ask you, why are you calling me? Please send a text. You people that like to pick phone calls should not feel superior to those that don't like picking phone calls. You are not better than they are. You are just different. You see that? You are just different. Some people like to work with information. So find out what that. Now, another thing to look at is look at your past accomplishment. Oh God. You see, this thing is so much. Are you getting blessed already? Do you know if you listen, if you follow this thing through, it will be very clear. This work is a detailed work. I've been working on this thing since last year. Since last year. Last year, August. I'm working on this thing. I intended to teach the workers as I was putting it together. Look at your past accomplishments. Before they told you you're a dunce. Before you came to the terms that you are a foolish person, what were the things that you have done? Some of us as children, we try things out. You have to get back in touch with that child who is in your spirit. The things you enjoy to do. I used to ask people, what did you like doing when you were young? Before your teacher told you you're an imbecile. Before you came to terms with things that you cannot do, or things that you were taught that you cannot be, what were the things that you think you were good at as a child? You see, teachers and parents are the greatest thieves in the world. They steal your ingenuity. They steal your curiosity as a child. They tell you, you cannot do that. You cannot touch that. You cannot go there. You cannot be that. All in the bid to try to guide your life, they put their own insecurities and impose it on your own curiosity. And you lose who you are. You lose who you are. Parenting is a full-time job and you must be a better parent to your children. They impose on us what we should study. My father told me to study law because I lied too much. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine me going to school? I'm choosing law because my father said I'm a liar. And I'm going to go to a profession because all lawyers are liars. My father said I should not waste this, my gift of lying. I'm telling the truth. My father had 14 of us. 14 of us. We are 14. I'm the seventh born. All the six of my siblings, elder siblings, all went to the sciences. All of them. I'm the first person in my house that went to art. Because my father said I was a liar. And that I need to study law. I should go to art. I was the first person he allowed. Because in those days, they wouldn't allow you to go to art. The thing that art students are dull, the thing that sciences, those are the kind of things that, you know, twisted our mindsets. So my father said, so imagine me now, I'm going to SS1 now, art class, as a liar. You can imagine that. So it took, imagine what God had to do in my mind to wash that off my spirit. So look back at your childhood. Who were you before the you that you are now came? Who was that curious you who could do anything? That's the you that God created. That's the you that God made. The you that was there before was poisoned by the people who were elders around you. It may sound like this, Pastor, what are we doing? Yes, that's you. It says, before I was formed in my mother's womb, I knew you. All right? So look at that. Look at those things you've done in the past. You can mention them if you want, as a child, as a teenager, in your 20s. Then find out, what do you love to do? Next page. Do you love to design? Do you love to develop things? Why am I saying all this thing? Pastor, is this a Bible study? This is the Bible study. This is a Bible study. I'm getting you back in connection with who you are. My mom was dead long before I grew up, so I don't have a lot to say about my mom, but I have a lot to say about my dad and about the Christian communities that was around me. who felt it was a wrong thing for someone to talk too much. And there are scriptures for it. In the multitude of words, they wanted no sin. And so they told me over and over, shouldn't talk, shouldn't talk. Stop talking. Keep quiet. You talk too much. Shut up. Shh. Shh. I will go parrot. Shut up. Sit down there. Shut up. Sit down. Don't talk. Shut up. Sit down. So even if I wanted to say something, I just hear the voice ringing in my head. Shut up. Sit down. I was always in the names of noisemakers. Always. The day I don't go to school, they still put down my name there. Because I would have been there if I was around. You know, one day I went to pick my daughter from school, and she said, Daddy, they wrote my name in the names of noisemakers. I said, if your name was not written in the names of noisemakers, then I'm not the one that born you. It's a family heritage. Our names must be written in the names of noisemakers. She was like, Daddy, I said, yes. I was always in the list of the names of noisemakers. I made noise every time. So I hated myself. Do you know I pray to God that God should make me dumb? When I gave my life to Christ, it was that bad. I look for scriptures that, Lord, you're the one that made Zechariah dumb for 6 months. Make me dumb, Lord. I prayed until God had to shut me up. So what do you love? Do you love to design? Do you love to develop? Do you love to pioneer things? Do you like to start new things? Those are the you that God created. Do you love to operate things or to maintain things? Just go through it. Go through. Are you on it? You're saying that. So just go through quickly. You like to acquire things. People like to possess things. It's a gift. I've seen people that like to buy things. Not things like you want to buy bags. That's what I'm talking about. They like to buy things for investment purposes. Some people don't buy anything. You say, well, we live today, we die tomorrow. So I was even telling my wife, I said, you better wear your best clothes now. She said, what do you mean? I said, because Jesus Christ is coming soon. I said, it's Antichrist that will wear all these clothes that you keep. They will wear it on Marxists. Use your best clothes now. Future ways for no one. So you have to just live today. Today we know. Tomorrow we don't know. Let's live today. Tomorrow is a gift. We are not sure. So, but people who like to possess things, invest for the future. That people like that who love to influence, who love to exert, who love to perform. You like to perform. There's nothing wrong with performing. There's nothing wrong with being a performer. There's nothing wrong with being a performer. Let it sink in your mind. It is not sinful to be a performer. God did a lot through performance in scriptures. Ezekiel was a performer. Isaiah was a performer. I mean, these guys will wear chains on their hands and on their legs and go through the streets. This is how Jerusalem will be tied and taken to the Gentiles. They were performing every day like that. Isaiah was naked for 20 years. Butt naked. God told him to be naked. That this is how Israel will be naked in the strange land. Yes. Yes. God dramatizes things. Why does God allow fire to burn, bush to be burning without it being burnt? Why does God have to speak and have to put fire everywhere? Brrr. Why does he do all these kinds of things? Why is it so dramatic? Special effects. When the Holy Ghost came, why did he come with a mighty rushing wind and God? Why can't people just receive some gentle spirit and just... Why can't they just, oh my God, pay me in Jesus? Why does he have to come scatter everywhere? Why does he do that? Look at me, why does he scatter everybody like that? Why can't he just come gently and touch people? Oh, I feel so touched. I feel touched. I feel something touched me now. Why does he have to talk about people scatter chairs? Why does he do that? Do you like to perform? Do you like to improve on things? Do you like to repair things? Do you like to lead and be in charge? You see, if you love to lead, it's not wrong. Don't let anybody tell you that you are greedy. I have to wrap up now. Don't let anybody tell you that you're greedy. You always want to be in the front. You are too forward. You are made to be forward. Forward ever, backward ever. Anytime you come to a place, you want to be the one in front. Have you seen like that? Before you know, you are hearing that voice. You are there thinking you are humble. You self-esteem. You have low self-esteem. You think you are humble. It's low self-esteem. You are not sure. You think you are going to speak wrong English. That's why you don't talk. You think you are going to blow gun. I don't talk much. It's low self-esteem. You see somebody come, they are in low self-esteem. People are always angry with them. Is it only him? That's how God created. They won't be in front. There's nothing wrong with trying to be the leader. Jesus Christ told disciples, anyone that wants to be great must be the servant of all. There's nothing wrong with the desire to be a leader. The problem is the channel with which people want to be a leader. Manipulate people, scandalize people, steal their way all through to get to the front. But being a leader, I love to be a leader. I speak like one. I come into the room, mouth first. You hear my voice from the gate. Fool me! Everybody knows my voice. I love it. I love how it feels being in charge. I don't know. Anything you say, I'm there. Who's going to volunteer? I'm going to volunteer. We are there. Who's going to carry this? I'm going to carry. I'm always there. Who's going to volunteer? That's what leadership is. So there's nothing wrong with trying and wanting to be the leader. There's nothing wrong with it. Correct that in your mind. Being a leader is a good thing. In my former church, I was telling them in the office today, they used to do evaluation assessment. You come on the stage, you do opening prayer. There's a department in church that marks your opening prayer. 2/10. 3/10. Very poor. 2/10. They call them evaluation assessment, E&A. So if you come to a place and you be somewhere, so before they tell you to come on something, they give them 1 month notice. So the moment the person that's supposed to take the opening prayer is not around, nobody wants to take it again. Because everyone is afraid of what evaluation and assessment will tell them, because they are not prepared. Who's going to take it? I'm going to take it. Who's going to do that? I'm going to do that. I'm always volunteering to do it. Where anybody is, I will come out. I will go there, I will do the one I can do. That was how I grew my spontaneity. That's how I became a strong speaker. That's how I can come on a stage without preparation and deliver maximally. I was learning by volunteering. After my people started going, is he the only one? He barely. That's what I told about Joseph. That's what I said about David. When David came and said, why is this guy talking like that? Because you have come again, Abi. That's how you do. Who did you leave all those goats for? So me, I should watch goats all my life. I should not kick Goliath. I left goats to kick Goliath. People who have low self-esteem have a problem with people who have high self-esteem. They think they are too forward. They think they are too proud. They think they are too arrogant. They don't even like their hair. He's too loud. Leave him. God made him to be loud. His God is a loud. God has gone before us with a shout. With a shout. That's what he goes. So do you want to be a leader? Put it down. I love to be a leader. Do you love to serve? Do you love to follow the rules? I remember people that like to follow the rules. Everything must be peace like that. Peace, ukwada, like that. Follow the rules. She likes to follow the rules. What is the rule? Very structured. What's the system here? No spontaneity, please. No spontaneity. No, please. What did we write down? What did we say? What did we agree? Is this what we're going to do? Is this what we said we're going to do? Why are we going above or going away? We have already said it. No, if anything that God did not say what we're going to do, he should not ever do it. This is what we said we're going to do. Those people are very good at administration. They make sure things work efficiently. All these things are gifts that God gave you. You did not make yourself. You didn't make yourself that way. All right? You love to do all that. And now that. Hey, my time has gone. Okay, so let's wrap that up. I'll go to the last. I have five. Ability is the third one. I'll stop on ability so that we can go today and I'll finish. Tomorrow, next week's Tuesday, is our last week of the 8 weeks of Word and Worship. Have you been blessed since? Should we make it 10 weeks of Word and Worship? All right, Jake Leff is coming next week. The guy that sang that I'll Trust You song, amazing singer, will be here next week. So let's just wrap this through. I will continue because my time is gone. All right, abilities that you have, the things that you can do. So I said misconceptions about abilities. Please follow me closely about these misconceptions. One, myth number one is that people are not born with skills and that all skills must be learned, and that's not true. People are born with skills. Some skills are learned, but some skills, you are born with it. You see, I can draw. And I've never drawn in the front of my children before, because I don't draw at all. But my children can draw. How? I never taught them how to draw. I never taught them how to draw. So something I saw that they were already drawing. I say, oh my, this girl can draw. So, okay, next time you want to do this, do it like this. This is how to shade it. Shade it this way. Turn like that. My children are very handy. Curiosity, all those things are things that are you can be born with. It's in it. So, number one myth is that people are not born. That's not correct. Number two, those skills which must be learned are learned primarily in the classroom. You can learn from anywhere. You can learn in church. You can learn by working with people. Number three, got my time. If you have certain abilities, you'll be very aware of them. If you have abilities, you'll be very aware of them. And that's not true. Because there are some of us here who have abilities that you're not even aware of. God said to Moses, what is in your hand? All the while, Moses had that rod. Did you know that rod could do what that rod could do? And the purpose of this class is even to help you come back in terms with what you have possibility and abilities for. I love the Lord. Come on. I love Jesus. How did he make us like this? You have abilities. Some of us can write. Some of us are fantastic writers. Number four, myths is that I use all my skill, I must use only in work environment. And that's not true. All these your skills were not work skills. They are your skills. They are your gifts. God gave it to you. So if you're a good managerial person at work, you can bring that thing to the church. Look at Paul. Paul was a passionate person as a Pharisee. Bought the church. I do that. When we started our church, I couldn't afford a graphic designer. And the only graphic designer I had was Femi. Femi saw Shege. Saw Shege in my hand. After I showed him Shege, I now gave him binoculars. I said, see, there's more Shege in the future. See the future, Shege. Kai. So I would sit down with Femi. Femi would design an art for 20 times. I would say, no, shift it like this. It's not straight. If I say something is not straight, it's not straight. I tell you, if I say this is not straight, it's not straight. It's not straight. My eyes will see it. I'm an artist. So when I brought that in, I brought it into our graphic designing. I now began to design. One day, Buchi did a design. It was church online. So he put a house in a phone, like a church in a phone. And he published it. All of us saw it. But I saw that he put slippers in front of the house. I said, is it a mosque? What are slippers here? He said, Pastor. I said, yes, it's not a mosque. Remove that slippers. So I will see it. If I show you our design page, you'll be shocked how many designs. Now, our design team are the best in the world. Yeah. I'm telling you. They are calling for them everywhere. I have pastors who have told me that he wants to employ our design team to be designing their work. I've seen Femi do designs for churches here in Abuja. How? Because I brought my skill into the church. Everything God gave you, he gave you. He didn't say this is what to use in church, this is what to use in class. Use it everywhere. Use it in the house of God. If you're a good administrator, bring it here. So if you are good, you are good speakers where you are. I don't want them to think that maybe I don't want them to think that maybe I am trying to push yourself forward. You are a citizen upon a hill. You don't have to be hidden. When you light a candle, you don't put it under a basket. You put it on the candle stand. Stop being timid. Come on. Love yourself the way you are. Be bold about who you are. So that's the last bit I want to say, that God only uses you in the areas of your abilities. That's not true. God can use you even in areas that you are not skilled for. So don't let your temperament be your prison. Don't be, time has gone. Is it the clock already? Okay, so what we're going to do is, because time has gone. We're going to study this thing, and then when we come back next week, we'll be able to run it faster, Abby. Since all of us already have it. Yeah. So let me end with this. God can use you in areas that you are not gifted. That's the last myth. The myth that God can only use you where you are gifted is a myth. Moses was a stammerer. He was not a gifted speaker. And speaking being a core quality for leadership, Moses didn't have it. So as you are now, even though I've told you what you have, yet don't let what you seemingly don't have box you from the possibility of God in your life. God is the biggest ability you need. The Holy Ghost is your competitive edge. If you have the Holy Ghost, it could be anything. Jesus says, I am He, I am that I am. It was a cloud of glory, it was a pillar of fire, it was a rock of water. When God needs anything, He can bring it out of your spirit. When He puts you into a place where there's a demand on that ability, God can enter your spirit and draw out that ability from it. So you, who is not a patient person, you are a temperamental person, God can put you in a place where patience is drawn from your spirit. Are you following my point? So that your temperament or your mental preference or your mental possibilities does not become a prison for you. Don't say, Pastor, I'm not that kind of person. You don't know what kind of person you are. You are infinitely gifted. He says you are complex. You are complex. If I can get just few people to love who they are today, this deliverance is clear. You are complex. The way he put you, I didn't know I was going to pastor. My friend Peterson, you know Mr. Peterson, Ronti. It did my mental mental preference test. He said, I have nothing doing as a pastor. By the questions he asked me, what I'd like to do, what I should be doing, I had no business pastoring. Because people like us are naturally intolerant. We are not sensitive to human beings' feelings, and that's true. I don't care. I tell you, confrontation is my hobby. There's nothing that gives me joy than to quickly confront. Hey, I heard that you are doing that. I'm telling you, we go for facts, not feelings. I can use the devil if he's useful. That's how bad it is. That even my own emotions don't come in place. If I don't like, you can never know who I like by what I'm doing. If you are looking at my status and looking at what I'm saying, yeah, Pastor, you are shocked. I might be working closely with somebody that I don't like one bit, but is delivering. That's the kind of mental preference I have. That I can remove my emotions completely and work on a task with people I don't have natural inclination with. So that's how I am. So it's not a mental preference for pastoring. Because a pastor is supposed to nurture, is supposed to be kind, is supposed to care, is supposed to be sensitive. You know, I was telling them in the office when we did our administration class, for when we had our administrative staff, the person that came to train our administrative staff was the only person that stood against me from being a pastor in my former church. When my pastor was going to see whether he should release me or not release me, he was the only person that said, they must not release me. That guy was the only person that stood against me starting SLC. When it was time for me to train SLC admin staff, I went to call him, come and train them. I don't like him, but he's good at what he does. Period. I'm employing him simply because he's good at what he delivers. I don't, no emotions. I say I can use the devil. The devil is very good at what he does. And I need, that's how terrible it can be. So our mental preference is not pastoral. We don't care for people naturally. We talk bluntly. We talk it as it is. But God went into my spirit and drew out patience, drew out tolerance, drew out love, long suffering. He drew it out as fruits of my spirit, not fruit of your temperament. It's a fruit of the spirit, not fruit of temperament. So these things are there in your spirit, irrespective of your temperament. And God can use you anywhere so long as you open your heart for him to put his hands and draw it right out of your spirit. So we have talked about spiritual gifts tonight, talked about your heartbeat tonight, talked about briefly about your ability. So when you get home tonight, check out those notes. There are some exercises I put out there. Write it out. So when we're meeting out next week, hopefully we'll be finishing next week over this. You'll be able to say fully, the pastor, I'm strong in this, I'm strong in that, I'm strong in this, I've seen God's grace work on this, I believe this is my calling in life. And the moment you find your calling and you deploy your entire energy, entire time, entire resources into it, you'll be very, very great at what God has called you to. Were you blessed tonight? Hallelujah. All right, bow down your heads and just pray in the Holy Ghost 1 minute. Say, Lord, I receive the gift you have given to me. I receive the gift you have given to me. The me that you give to me. I receive it with joy, with thanksgiving. I take what I have. I admire it. I receive it. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Did he make you a pastor? Did he make you a shepherd? Did he make you a prophet? Did he call you an apostle? Did he call you an administrator? Did he tell you who you are? Receive it in God. Say, Lord, with thanksgiving, I receive my gift. I don't undermine my gift. I don't defy my gift. I don't look down on my gift. I receive it. Oh, ka, para, seta, kaba. Somebody pray. That's the call of the deliverance tonight. I refuse to be the imbecile my teacher called me. I refuse to be the doll like my mother said I was. I refuse to be that person that my teacher, my graduate teacher, my school teacher said I was. I refuse to say and accept the things that my friends say I am. I choose what God said I am. He said I'm strong. He said I'm stable. He said I'm sustainable. He said I'm powerful. He said I'm completely built in God. Receive what God says you are. Receive it tonight. Come on. There will be power surging in your spirit once you receive what says you are. My mother may have said that, but this is what the Bible says. My father may have said this, but this is what God's word said. My daddy may have said that, my teacher may have said that, my friends may have said that, but I choose to believe God. I choose to accept. I choose to say what God says I am. I am strong. I am strong. I'm not ugly. I'm not ugly. I'm not ugly. I'm strong in the Lord. I'm strong in His word. Reka paradasaya. I'm a studious person. I'm a lover of God. Helako supa rateka embratele mataya. I receive the gift that God says I am. I am the gift. He says I am. I have the gift. He says I am. Jeka rate kaba sadaya. The anointing of God is upon me. The hand of God is upon me. I'm not bitter. I'm not offended. I'm not guilty. I'm not bitter. I'm not low. I'm who God says I am. I receive the gift He gave to me. I receive the gift He says I am. I am who God says I am. Come on, come on, pray. One more minute. I love myself. Say it. I love who He says I am. Oko, soto, mumbro, kopra, sate. I'm a pastor. I'm a doctor. I'm a teacher. I'm an evangelist. I'm a missionary. I'm a teacher. I'm a sacrifice. I am what God says I am. I'm a giver. I'm an exhorter. I am an apostle. I am who God says I am. I receive it. I'm a writer. I'm an author. I'm anointed. I'm a speaker. I'm a performer. Come on. Larakashila Bataya. I design with the anointing. I love people with the anointing. I'm not bitter. I'm not guilty. Hela Rakasaya. There's no low self-esteem in me. There's no low self-esteem. I receive my gift with thanksgiving. I accept my gift with thanksgiving. I'm in tune with who I am. I'm not my past. I'm not that rape victim. I'm not an abuse victim. I'm not a decayed victim. I'm not who God says I am. I'm who God says I am. I'm who God says I am. Arise in the Lord. Arise and step into your office. Arise and step into your calling. Arise and step into your assignment. Arise and step into what God says you are.
Thank you for listening to this message. Meditate on these words and watch how it will transform your life. For inquiries, please call 0909-672-9827 or 0807-548-5997. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at SL Church NG. You can reach us on our Facebook. That's Supernatural Life Church.